It's the start of the Survivor season. We want to make sure that you don't miss any of our great coverage of the new Survivor season on Rob Has a Podcast or in our reality TV wrap-ups feed. Subscribe to get all of our shows free of charge. RobHasAWebsite.com/subscribe for all of the links to listen wherever you get your podcast. And we appreciate your feedback and star ratings here at the start of the season because it helps more people find the show. That's at RobHasAWebsite.com/subscribe. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who, after a two-hour Survivor premiere, has watched the least amount of Survivor of any week this year. I am Rob Sestrino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Feedback Show. I'm home. It's the Feedback Show of a Survivor episode, and we have a great one for you today because we are joined by a man who is no stranger to podcasting or to Twitter. We're blessed to have back with us. It's the great Chappelle.
Rob, it's been a while. I missed you.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Yes. I missed our time together.
Right. That's what Jeff said at the beginning of the episode. He missed us.
Yeah.
Didn't you feel welcomed in? I felt very warm, like, yes, Jeff, I missed you too. I did watch several seasons of Survivor this year, so I didn't miss you that much. But, you know, it felt good to be home. Don't you think?
Yeah. Jeff is back with a new look.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Longer hair.
Yeah. He's just letting it all out.
He's still the same.
Yeah.
His face is still the same. I mean, it is plastered right up there. Just like it is.
Like Dr. Will? Yeah.
Never changing. Yeah. It's so good. Love to see Jeff like this. It's so good to be back, Rob. This feels good.
Yes.
Like all the seasons of Survivor, like all the episodes of Survivor prior to today, you've seen before. So this is like the first time we got to experience something fresh.
Unexpected.
Like Nora said, it's fresh. It's breathing. It's moving. Yeah, this is our new Survivor.
Yes. Yes.
Zesty.
So, zesty. Right.
Zesty. Right.
Chappelle, so happy that you're here for the first Survivor Feedback Show of the season. And this is where we really, like Jeff, get to let our hair down a little bit, get to have some fun, get to hear what the listeners have to say. You can send in your questions every week. RobHasAWebsite.com/voicemail. Of course, we're going to also take questions from the listeners. RobHasAWebsite.com/survivor questions as well. We'll play more sounds from the episode as well and get into all of that. But it's a really fun time here on the Survivor Feedback Show. And I'm very excited to have you for your first Survivor Feedback Show, Chappelle.
Yeah, Rob, this is wild. I don't know if I ever, when I was just a listener, if I ever called in and asked a question or submitted questions. I don't know. I
do you think
it.
You might have? Should I check?
No, please don't check. I definitely don't think I did. But, you know, I think a part of me always wanted to, you know. So this is good. I finally made it.
Yeah.
Feel so proud of me.
This is the listeners episode of the week.
I am the listeners.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm happy to be a part of this.
Yeah. It's been a great week so far. We had the Know-It-Alls, had a double exit interview, spoke with Karishma earlier this week. We still have to come the patron Q&A, where we are going to hear from the patrons and see them in the flesh this Monday night. Amon Adwin will join me for that show coming up. I will send out a link to the patrons over the weekend where you can call in and ask your questions live on our first patron Q&A of the Survivor season. I just got done with a Big Brother Q&A with Taryn Armstrong. It's been very fun and people really enjoyed that format. So looking forward to diving into that. But Chappelle, we got a big Survivor premiere coming up. Mm-hmm. But first, as I say, you know, you and I got to podcast about the old reality shows. Well, you know, remember when there was no Survivor on?
I remember it was dark times. It feels like so long ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
No.
So long ago.
Not really.
I mean,
not really.
No, it was a really long time. But you and I got to podcast every week on the RHAP Rewind. But, you know, that was something we were doing that was during the time when there was no shows.
Yeah. In the dark ages.
I was going to say the dark times, but it's, I mean, Let's be honest. It's not great right now.
It's still the dark time, but just like less dark. You know, like you
There's more TV.
And you got like, you got black and you got like navy black. This is like blackish, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's a really dark timeline here. But so that's there's more TV now. You know, people have decided, go get vaccinated, go make some more shows, social distance in the show. So we have the technology to get more television. We got it. This feels good.
Yeah.
I think we should explore that.
So this fall, Survivor is back and everybody's excited about that. But we also have a brand new show that we are going to be launching every week. So our podcasting can continue. I'm very excited to tell the listeners about a brand new show that was talked about a couple of weeks ago on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. We were talking about the idea of, after we had watched He's All That on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, said, well, this is great. This is a new show that's on Netflix. Everybody's talking about this. What if we talked about whatever is the newest, latest, greatest thing happening on Netflix? Nothing but Netflix.
Swish.
Swish.
And yes.
Chappelle, we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Rob, so I was on the plane and I was like, mind my own business. I was traveling and I was listening to podcasts in and out of sleep. You know me, recently fired from my job as the host of the RHAP Rewind. I hear my name.
I mean, I was too.
You were what? Recently fired?
Let go from the RHAP Rewind.
I mean, you did it. Just let me be very clear. You fired you. But I was sleeping on the plane.
I fired both of us.
Thanks, Rob. I love that. I'm not going to list you as a reference. But I was on the plane. I heard my name. So, of course, I woke up and I had to rewind the podcast a little bit on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. It's like, why are they talking about me? And I hear this idea, nothing but Netflix. I was like, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
But Rob's obviously delusional. He did just fire me. And now he's talking about canceling Renap. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I didn't think much of it. But when I landed, I thought, but what if Rob is serious? This could be great. We could talk about whatever's new, whatever is just new to Netflix, new to us. We can talk about whatever's new, what's hot on the block, what people are talking about, the spicy, the hot goss.
We can talk about something that's old on Netflix.
Yeah, very, very old that is just new to Netflix. You know, whenever Netflix rolls out, whenever it's at the top of the conversation, I think we should explore that. It's such a great idea. I'm so happy you and Akiva came up with it. And I'm so happy that you chose me to be your co-host.
Yes, I'm very excited. It'll be a lot of fun. Can't wait to get that going. And we will start that coming up next week on the podcast. And for the first episode of the Nothing But Netflix podcast, we will have a very special guest that we will be joined by Akiva Whitaker, because the conversation that started it all was Seinfeld is coming to Netflix, and we thought it'd be fun to, we'll look at some Seinfeld. Well, Chappelle is, you know, you fair to say you're not the biggest Seinfeld expert in the world.
No. I typically try to watch shows with a little bit more color. But I'm excited. I've seen episodes of Seinfeld before. I've seen a couple seasons actually, because I really thought one day I'm gonna binge all of this and I'll know what the hell Rob and Akiva are talking about sometimes. I did not. I got through a little bit of it, but you know, I'm excited to have this moment with you guys. This is Akiva's wheelhouse, kind of. Y'all are like casual super fans.
We're casual super fans. Yeah, people that know a lot more about Seinfeld than us. Yeah,
I'm excited to be in y'all's world for a little bit, but this is also a good jumping off point for what we have coming up next. We'll talk about Seinfeld, but then we'll get into some newer things, some more exciting things, some older things. You know, the sky's the limit. Netflix has it all, and we plan on exploring as much as we can together. So this sounds like a good idea to me.
Okay, yeah. And if you let us know things that are coming up that you want to hear us talk about, excited to get into that coming up next week. Nothing but Netflix. But Chappelle, let's talk some Survivor. 2-hour premiere. What was your reaction to the premiere?
Oh, it was the longest episode of television I've ever seen in my life. Like, I was just like, oh, okay, we're doing this all night. It felt, because there was so much to digest. And I'm not complaining about the episode. Don't get me wrong. It was great. But like, it was a lot. There was Jeff and his talking to us, like, you know, like Steve from Blue's Clues, like, hey, it's my friends, you know. He also showing where the clues were hidden. And we got a lot of flashbacks into and looks into these people's lives. Like these very different production choices than we've had in the past, as far as like camera tricks and even just showing these people's personal lives and their clips from home when they're finding out they're going to be on Survivor and at work. This was cool. I liked it, but it was a lot. It was a lot. There was a twist here, a turn there. There was so much to digest in so little time. I'm glad it was a 2-hour premiere, but man, it felt like jam-packed, you know?
Jam-packed. All right, let's take a question about that. Let's bring in our old friend. This has been the nice part about doing the feedback show is that I got to hear voicemails from so many people that have been leaving voicemails for years that are back. Let's kick it off with Brent the Shower Man.
Wow.
It's been a while. I've missed you. Well, I've missed the blind sides and I've missed the alliances, but mostly I've missed our time together on the voicemails. Hey, Robin Chappelle, this is Brent the Shower Man. I was going to do this whole thing where I quote Jeff Probst and make it about the voicemails, but you get the idea. I want to know, what do you think about his monologuing at the beginning and breaking the fourth wall? And what do you want him to do more of or less of with that? What do you think we'll see? And what are your thoughts? Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Yeah, Chappelle, the question is that just because they could do this, does it mean they should do this? Is it adding anything?
Here's my theory, and this theory is going to come up a lot today because I was looking at the show through one lens and then I thought about it in a different light. So at first I was watching it like Chappelle would watch Survivor, right? But now I'm thinking if Jeff is being honest with himself and the way he really wants this to make this like a family experience for you and your kids, maybe this is something that he continues, because it did give off, you know, Blue's Clues vibes, very much like, hey, it's me and my friends and it's good to have you back. I think that's something that works after a layoff like the one we had from Survivor, but I don't know if that's something that that you can do all the time, unless it's very much Jeff talking to the family sitting in front of the screen, you know. They even had those devices where they showed all the production people and like, hey, this is a television show. We want your input at Jeff Probst, but I'm not going to read it. You know, those things. And so I'm thinking that if he's looking at this as a family show, maybe it is. Maybe like he's more like a host now, because I don't think Jeff has been a host of Survivor for a while. He is more like the host of Tribal Council and the person who yells during the challenges. But a host of a show is more like a Phil Kogan, where, you know, like he's like, okay, on this plot, you know, area of the game, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's very much like Phil walking you through it, where Jeff is kind of just like the moderator of the challenges and Tribal Council. So maybe he's taking a more active role as in actually hosting the show.
Yeah. It's as somebody who watches the show with young children, like I feel like that it is weird where the show like wants to be something for young children, but also like we also want you to like be to lie and also like do duplicitous things. It's like that I feel like that the show does like switch in and out of gears very quickly in terms of like who it's appealing to.
Yeah, I mean, but if you think about all the game mechanics now, like, oh, we have this dice roll that we have now. It just seems like it's skewing a lot younger to me. And I don't know if that's a decision that Jeff is making consciously for the, you know, the future. Like, this is a future of Survivor. It's just going to be like a very family-oriented show. Or if it's just, you know, the COVID break has him like trying to ease us all back into the fast-paced Survivor that we've come to know and love sometimes. So I can't tell where they've landed, but right now it seems like they're kind of leaning toward the younger audience a little bit.
Yeah. Wait till they get the 16-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. And then at that point, it's all rebus puzzles. And, you know, like, we have to text in, like, on Big Brother. Like, you know, like, text in when you see the clue. And, you know, I don't know. I mean,
that is Blue's Clues.
That is Blue's Clues. A lack of texting in Blue's Clues. But, you know, it's 2021. So you never know what we can do with this.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great question for Brent. It is a lot to feel like Jeff is talking to you. Because I think a lot of us are just accustomed to, let's get to the game, you know? And this is like, hey, slow down real quick. Let me explain to you all the cool things that we have now. You know, we have new things. Take a seat, relax. So, you know, it takes some getting used to, but I think over time It won't matter. Yeah. It'll be a non-issue.
Although for years, Jeff has been talking to us at the finale, like at the reunion show. He does do that. He's like, all right, we're here. It's the reunion show. Call your friends. It's happening. Yeah.
It's been 40 seasons of him trying to prepare us for this moment. You know, like he's been building and building. Like back in the Bryant Gumbel days, you could never foresee a world where Jeff would be like sitting you down between every twist and saying, okay, now let me explain to you how this happens. Because Jeff was barely on the show back then. But now he's taking the reins. He's a producer. He's, you know, he's the face of the franchise. And he wants us to, it's the same face. Same face.
Yeah.
20 years, same face. But, you know, he wants us to kind of be engaged and he wants to lead us to water, you know, so we can drink. So it looks like that's what we're doing here.
Okay. Just make sure that you get the flint so you can boil the water before you drink it, Chappelle.
Until we take the flint away because we're horrible people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't lose the challenge.
Okay. Let's take a question from Boyan, who wants to talk about what was it like for people who, for a lot of people, this was their first episode ever of watching Survivor in the real time.
Ooh. Hello, my name is Boyan. I'm a patron from Toronto, and I just have one quick question for the two of you. After watching so many seasons this last year on 2X and 1.5X and just whatever X, how did it feel to actually watch an episode at the speed it was meant to be shown at and with commercials and everything? It must have been pretty crazy, I imagine, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Thanks. Okay.
Thanks for the question. Actually, I misspoke. So his question was about what was it like for us to watch? What was it like to watch on a normal speed? Yeah. It was a little bit jarring of just how many commercials there are in the episode. Now, we've been watching Big Brother all summer, so it's not totally out of whack. But if you discovered Survivor on Netflix and then went from Netflix into a binge, that I don't think that you necessarily were ready for the amount of prescription medications and CBS television shows you were going to hear about.
Yeah, maybe that's why I felt like the episode was so long, because I'm so used to just watching the episode straight through and that's it. Like there's an episode and then it's over and then I go to the next one. But this one was like, no, we're going to make you sit through every second of this show. And I guess it's a good point. I did feel like it was a lot more relaxed. Like you could just watch the TV and go get you something to eat. You could come sit down. It's a different feel, I guess, than just having to be glued to the screen so you don't miss anything. But with the show being so complicated now, I think that you do have to be glued to the screen if you don't miss anything. I actually came into the episode maybe like 2 minutes too late, right? I missed the first 2 minutes of the episode because I was coming home from work. And I didn't know they showed Jeff hide the immunity idol clue or whatever, that advantage clue in that tree. So then when they flashed back to him doing it, I said, oh, that was really cool. Well, I then went back to watch the 2 minutes that I missed. And I said, oh, wait, he already did that. So, you know, it's kind of like you can't take your eyes away from the screen. So it is good that you do have the commercial breaks and random interstitials so that you can, you know, kind of take care of yourself in the meantime, because otherwise there's so much going on. I think you might miss stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. More of like a relaxed pace to get through this over the course of the hour. I like, okay, I can get up. I can go grab something, especially we got the podcast coming up. So that's, it works for me. It didn't bother me.
Yeah, no, it was good. Like I said, it just felt kind of long, but I mean, it was 2 hours for one. And also, what was the last time I watched Survivor with commercials? So, you know, yeah. I get used to it.
Chappelle, if anything, it's like that these podcasts, like not doing 7 hour recaps of an episode or a season at a time is like, oh my God, this is wonderful.
No pressure. There's no pressure, Rob. Look, we're just talking about this episode. I mean, I have minimal notes, if any, you know, so this is good. I like this. Thank you, Brent the Shower Man. Also, it's an honor to be addressed by Brent the Shower Man. That's pretty cool.
Okay. So let's take the question about the premiere from Shelly. And Shelly wants to know just how great was this Survivor premiere?
Hey, Rob. Hey, Chappelle. Yeah. I feel like this was the best premiere of Survivor we've had in, say, the last 10 seasons of modern day Survivor. So I was wondering where you guys would place it. Thank you and love you both.
Okay. Love you too, Shelly. Thank you so much.
Yeah. That's what's up, Shelly.
Yes.
We love you too.
Shelly, thank you for the question. And so, Chappelle, the best premiere in the last 10 seasons now. Chappelle joined me for 6 of the top 40 seasons of Survivor. By the way, if you missed any of those, you can go to robiswebsite.com/rankings
for
that. And you can see if you ever binge a season or watch it through and you want to watch any of the panels that we did, in case you were just jumping back in because of the Survivor being back. We did the all-time top 40 season countdown, and one season a week was watched and discussed on this very podcast over the course of 2021. Chappelle joined us 6 times.
Clearly, I have so much going on in my life. And, you know, no, obviously I was free and doing nothing. And you gave me a call and I was happy to be there.
And I believe that of those 6 times, or 3 of them were from the very recent seasons. You talked about season 39. You talked about season 35. You talked about season 37. Right? So
I think that's it. Yeah, I covered those 3, and then
Heroes vs. Villains, Australia. Outback,
and Australian Outback and Heroes vs. Villains. So yeah, 5. Or did I do 6?
I feel like you did 6, but
I feel like I did 6. I'm
trying to remember what the other one is.
Shoot, it's been a long year, Rob. Oh, Thailand.
Thailand.
How did we forget Thailand?
I mean, we tried to forget Thailand. Yeah.
My whole life.
So, all right. So you've watched some of those premieres. Would you agree, best premiere in the last 10 seasons?
Yeah. I mean, so Cambodia would be pretty high, right? Because we'd be going back to 31, right? So Cambodia would be pretty high up on the list. First boot-wise, I think it was it an hour and a half episode or something, too?
I'm sure it was 90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, so that was, we lose, like, Vidas and Shireen.
I think it was only one person.
Yeah,
one
boot, right? So we lose Vidas in that episode. I think that was a good episode of television. Korong would be next, right? That's when we lose Darnell. It's fine. It's not great.
Yeah, there's, Korong. Let me throw some other ones out at you that might be memorable. Okay. What about Game Changers? That, again, it's impactful. You lost Sierra. You lost Tony.
Yeah, and you see Sandra being a badass. So I don't think I hate that. I think if it's in the conversation for the last 10 seasons, then Game Changers is probably the closest, you know, like to that episode.
Ghost Island had a very good premiere. I mean, I think that the premiere might have been maybe one of the better episodes of Ghost Island. Don't forget Jacob Derwin dumping out all the rice into the socks.
Yeah, but I love Jacob Derwin on television. So, you know, like it's kind of sad that we didn't get more Jacob Derwin. But yeah, that's a good episode as well. A good start to a season that does not stay consistently strong. This is probably in the conversation.
Winners at War?
Yeah. In any world where Natalie Anderson goes home first, I just kind of don't even perceive that as a thing. So that's like a bottom tier like premiere for me. I'm sorry. It just is.
It's hard to say to rate the premieres, but this was certainly an exciting 2 hours of television.
Yeah. I mean, aside from the Jeff, you know, new Jeff and the twists and turns, there's not a lot to complain about. You know, double boots exciting. You had a couple decent challenges. Each of them had a little drama in it because of negligence, mostly. And so then you had some advantages. You had a live tribal council. It's like they threw everything in this episode and said, don't you like it? So, for me, it's in the conversation, probably next to Game Changers, maybe.
Okay. Let's talk about something that happened in the episode, which was really fun. So one of the big stars from the episode was Shan, our pastor. She was in the middle of everything. Pastor. Yeah, the Mafia Pastor. It's a great nickname.
It's dope. I just don't understand how I did not draft. Well, I know how I did not draft Shan, but I was screwed in the draft. But
you had the number one pick. Yeah.
The number one pick, and then just like, you know, late picks, And honestly, I just could not have foreseen how great of a television character she was going to be. I really enjoyed her this episode. So this was fun. Definitely love Shan and the content we got from her.
Yeah. So Shan tells us in the episode that when she's going to do something evil, she has a song that she sings in her head. Let's listen to that.
And I have a soundtrack that I hum in my head when I'm up to evil. Like, literally, I have a soundtrack that I hum.
Just know that, like, if someone says your name to me, like, I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
And I just trust that you do the same for me.
Absolutely.
Like, just have each other's back.
Yeah.
I want to be locked in with you guys. Yeah.
We got three.
Yeah.
Okay. Chappelle.
So good.
Do you have a soundtrack for when you're up to shenanigans?
Of course. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player. That's when I'm doing dirt.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to hype yourself up sometime, Rob. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The notorious one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think that maybe that Shan's theme might have been also something like that? And they said, could you give us a soundtrack that is not copyrighted?
Right. It's like, well, we can't use Formation by Beyonce. So, yeah, mm-hmm. give us this one. Like, yeah, or maybe like Skyfall by Adele. You know, there's probably a ton of things where they're like, hey, cut it out. Just give us a little hum and we'll do that.
Could you give us something like...
Yeah, so very simple. You remember Christmas's Christmas from Big Brother? You remember her evil music?
Just like bells, right?
It was the Christmas song. It was a Good King Wenceslas. Every time she like rolls in on her little scooter.
Yeah,
I think all reality TV shows.
That was very impressive. I don't want that to go unnoticed.
What, Christmas theme song? Yeah, it was amazing. I was just like listening to her and I was like, wow, to enter a room and have like evil Santa basically singing, you know, just because your name is Christmas. That's kind of wild. Rob, do you have a evil theme song as well?
I think it's just the regular RHAP theme song.
Coming to you live. Yeah, I guess. Maybe like the Survivor Know-It-Alls theme song.
I'm conspiring with Steven on any particular piece of evil, but you know, I feel like that I'm not really up to too much evil.
You know what I really like? I enjoy when you and when you sing the Talking with T-Bird song. It makes my heart smile.
Yeah. Sometimes I get in a mood where it's I'm just waiting for the show to start. I try to get like really like pump up the crowd.
Yeah, no, I love it every time. Either when you do it or when T-Bird does it. It's so good. It's so good. Whoa. I was like, yes, see, mm-hmm. Rob. Mm-hmm. That's going to be your theme music from now on. Every time you're about to do something evil. I don't know how much evil you do, but we're going to find a way to play you singing the Talking with T-Bird theme song in the middle of that.
Chappelle, can you give me a read on what's going on with this tribe where you have Shan who mm-hmm. has a soundtrack. She has the Shantham. She's ready. Yes. She's ready to go.
Yes.
What happened with this tribe the other night?
Yeah. So it looks like Ricard and Sarah they're not vibing with JD. Honestly, I can't blame them. You feel a lot of like intense energy coming from him, even through the television screen. Like you could tell he's excited to be there. And if I'm like, okay, you know, trying to control the pace of the game, maybe you probably look at somebody like JD as like, okay, we probably need to kind of squash this a little bit. Kind of the same energy Jacob Derwin had, you know, it's very like, I'm here to play, you know? And so from what I can tell, they thought they had Shan with them. And then once they lose the challenge due to the puzzle, that's when it kind of shifts towards Sarah at that point. Shan obviously not wanting to get rid of JD at the time. Ricard relinquishing on the JD vote and shifting to Sarah. And then Jeannie was just hanging out, it seems.
Yeah.
How did she end up voting for Brad? That's what she voted.
I think, well, Jeannie actually voted for Ricard. I have a question about that. We'll play that one next. But you know, that's interesting that you bring up Jacob Derwin in the context of JD, because I feel like that both of them are sort of like young people coming into the game, big super fans, feel like they know everything. But I feel like that the subtle difference there is, like, I think Jacob Derwin came into the game and realized, oh no, things are going terribly. And he spiraled. JD, while things may not have been going well, I get the impression that JD feels like he's killing it.
Yeah, and you know,
Until that moment of tribal council, until he just realized, oh wait, hold on, this is a live tribal.
Yeah, I think everything was going fine. And then he saw, you know, like the Mr. Krabs meme, right? The room starts spinning a little bit and he's like, oh, what am I going to do? And then luckily he had Shan there who could kind of advocate for him in that moment. And so I think this is more in the hands of Shan than it is in JD's hands. Yeah, I think she really saved him in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think she saved him in this moment, because from what I heard in the exit interview you did with Sarah, which was very good, she said, like, hey, JD cannot stop talking about Survivor on Survivor. And we've heard from survivors a lot of times that's not everyone's favorite thing to talk about on the island.
It's one of the reasons why I got voted off on Survivor All-Stars.
Yeah, I can imagine, right? I saw you doing your tribal council that you when you were Jeff Probst.
That was like day one. They didn't mind that. But then by day 12, it gets, you know, exhausting being around me 24 hours a day.
Yeah, he was making Survivor references even on the episode. At some point, I think it was the coconut thing, he says, Survivor MacGyver. And I was like, we've heard that before. Mm-hmm. We've heard that before. And I was like, I wonder how often he's doing that. Do you remember when, was it Shireen and Max Dawson were just on on their season, just survivoring back and forth? Like, oh, like, look at this Survivor thing. Look, I'm naked like Richard Hatch. And everybody's like, what the hell are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. I bet it's a similar energy. And so I hope that he's able to kind of bottle that up a little bit before it gets to be too overbearing, because, you know, everybody has not been watching since the day they were born, like this young man who was born the day after Survivor dropped or whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do hope that he can get it together, because I do really like him. I think he's really fun on the show. And I hope that, you know, maybe Shan can be sort of like this presence who is able to like keep him on the right track and focus.
Yeah, I don't want her going down with the ship, though. Shan had such a good first episode. It reminds me of Allie from Heroes, Healers, and Hustlers, where it's like the pre-merge, Allie was just like running. She was making, she had all the pieces going. She, but she had to navigate Patrick, who seemed like a big personality to navigate, you know? And so I'm hoping Shan doesn't end up in a situation where she's so busy trying to reel in the JD stuff that she ends up, you know, falling wayside to, you know, whatever strategic errors that he makes, you know? So hopefully good things for her, because she seems awesome.
Okay. Let's get to that vote, that Jeannie cast. This is a question that comes to us from Kiana. And let's go ahead and play that for you. Here's Kiana.
Hey, Rob. This is Kiana calling in, and I have a theory on Jeannie's vote for Ricard. I think it was always part of the plan for her to vote for him as part of a sort of split vote, just in case Sarah had an idol or played her shot in the dark. We saw that if Sarah had done either of those options, then the vote for Ricard would have caused a tie, and then they could have re-voted and voted Ricard out, and effectively she protected Brad. So that's my theory on the vote, and I just want to know what you guys think. Thank you.
Chappelle, I'm still so confused about this tribal council, and maybe there's like some of the listeners are out there like, Rob, you idiot. It's how do you host a podcast and that you're supposed to be a survivor know-it-all? It's obvious. But really, what the hell happened?
No, seriously. I think this idea from this listener, what was the listener's name?
Kiana.
Do you remember? Kiana? I think that's a really good idea. I think it's so complex that maybe because I'm so dumb, I would have never perceived that. I just assumed that they are too, that you would need to like throw an extra vote on somebody in case the random dice draw. Like that seems like a lot to do in a 6-person tribe.
A lot to do. And the other thing about this is that it speaks to Ricard not being involved in the plan. So if you're telling me that that's the case, that Jeannie is actually in on this sort of like tiebreak vote that we're going to put on Ricard, then that means that, okay, well, Ricard's not really in the alliance. And everything I saw in the episode speaks to that I think he is, although his person ends up being the person who went home. So maybe he's not.
I mean, it does look like he's at the bottom, right? If this plan and this vote that Jeannie threw on Ricard was all planned, then yeah, he's at the bottom of this alliance. It's him and Sarah. Sarah's gone. And now Jeannie, Brad, Shan and JD are about to merge on like onto him and X. Like he's next. But a part of me wonders if it's not even this complicated, right? If we're just overcomplicating things in our head, and maybe Jeannie and Sarah had a good connection and she didn't want to vote for her. She knew Ricard wasn't going anywhere. She threw a vote on him. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the exit interview, I asked her, you know, who she was the tightest with. I thought she was going to say Ricard. And she said that while strategically, you know, she felt like she had a good connection with him. She felt like that Jeannie, and Jeannie told us in the pregame, in the preseason, like, hey, I've got like the elite social game, and sounded like that she really made good bonds.
Yeah. And I mean, we did talk about one of the things we learned about Sarah is her story with her grandmother. And honestly, I like to pretend that I am not touched by that kind of stuff, but that's a lie. If you tell me something like the story where her grandmother and she was trying to make her grandma proud and this, that, and other, I'm like, I don't mind giving you a sympathy vote. Fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. As long as it's not me, then whatever. If I throw one on Ricard and I know that he's not going anywhere, fine. I would feel good about saying like, you know, I gave her a fighting chance. Probably get a better chance if we both voted for the same person, but maybe that's too much. But maybe that's something that had to do with it. Maybe she just bonded with Sarah and said, you know what, I'll give her a free vote. But this is Survivor, so anything could have happened. It could have definitely been what Kiana is positing here with, you know, the vote split. Because if you think about it, it actually makes a lot of sense. Had she randomly got safety here, would she loses her vote, though, doesn't she?
Like, she doesn't get a vote if she plays the shot in the dark.
Right. So if she plays the shot in the dark, she doesn't get a vote. So that there's no vote on Brad. There's no votes on Sarah. So the only people with votes at that point would be Ricard. It would just be Ricard. Jeannie would have chosen who gone home. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, strategically, hey,
yeah.
Sarah and Ricard at the bottom, that's a good vote split.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned Brad. I have a question about Brad, who I don't think we've talked enough about this week. Okay, Alisa.
He doesn't give you Kathy Sleckman vibes.
He's got kind of the Kathy Sleckman hair.
Yeah, it's just their demeanor is kind of similar. I get Sleckman from him. He's very Schlecht. Mm-hmm. I kind of like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. We'll see if he can always feel his family all the way through.
I hope so.
Let me go ahead and bring in a question about Brad that comes to us from Alisa. Here we go.
Hey, Robin Chappelle. This is Alisa. My question about episode one is, Sarah made a comment to Brad after Brad revealed that he was considering voting her or Shan out, that we're not playing Survivor like it's 2000. And I just want to ask, is it actually a bad thing that Brad is playing Survivor like it's 2000? Although it was, I think, not the best reaction and definitely could have backfired on Brad that he explicitly said he was going to vote out Shan and Sarah in front of their faces. Brad wasn't voted out. So was this a valid move for Brad, and is there anything wrong with playing like early Survivor?
Yeah. Can you party like it's 1999 basically on Survivor?
Alisa, what? What are you talking about? No. Listen, Survivor in 2000
the year
was
2000.
You know, the first thing that's offensive about this is people using the year 2000 like it's very long time ago. Mm-hmm. You know, like back in 2000. I'm like, oh gosh, what happened back then? Like, oh yeah, I was just damn near a grown ass man, but okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh my gosh, you're playing like this is 2000s, back when there were black and white televisions and, you know, things of that nature. Like, oh my gosh. I don't think this is ever good. You never tell somebody you're going to vote them out because they could have an idol. Then Genie has to do this fancy vote split thing. You could have this dice that you can just roll and save yourself. So I don't ever think it's a good idea to do that. Also, Shan was not on anybody's radar. So it's not like Brad said this to Sarah specifically and was like, hey, it's you. And was like trying to gain sympathy or an ally. She said this to Shan, who seems to be sitting pretty in the tribe. So I don't know if that's a good idea. I'm happy he didn't get voted out, but I don't think he had much to do with him not getting voted out. I think it was just by the grace of they didn't want to work with Sarah anymore.
So just talking about it, you know, devil's advocate. I don't think it's great, but like, I think it kind of establishes like, hey, I'm a straight shooter. This is what I'm about. If you lose I'm about the challenge performance. I mean, I guess it's not any different than what Abraham did, and Abraham got voted out. So
yeah,
I don't think it's probably not great. I think at best you could say it like, at least like he doesn't come off as like, oh, you know, Brad's up to something. He's schemy.
Yeah. I feel like there's a way you do this where it doesn't feel like you're looking at the person saying, yeah, I am voting for you. I think what you say is, I've heard your name. What can we do to get it off of you? Mm-hmm. Who would you rather vote for? You know, that kind of thing. But if I walk up and be like, hey, Chappelle, what you thinking? I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to vote out Rob this time.
What? You know,
yeah, that's when you get the pinner reaction. Like, oh, well, you know, I feel bad for Katie.
I hate to lose Rob.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Like, what?
Well, no, seriously. I'd hate to lose whoever else is on our tribe.
No. Yeah, Shan. Yeah. It's just one of those moments where it's like, could you have done this without saying, like, you are targeting me? Because if you tell me you're targeting me, that means I can target you. Mm-hmm. And what I would rather you do is tell me how you can work with me. So yeah, I didn't love this, but it didn't kill him. He's fine.
Probably like better fine. To say what Abraham said, which was basically like, keep the tribe strong.
Yeah. The problem with what Abraham did, I think, is that cannot come from the person who wants to keep the tribe strong. Like, it cannot come from the strong guy. Like, he has to float that idea out there for other people to pick up. And then he'd be like, yes, we are keeping the tribe strong together. But him going to Evie and being like, you know, so Tiffany's not really pulling her weight in challenges. I think we could probably get rid of Tiffany if we go to tribal council. Evie's like, okay. And then we are going to get rid of who next? Whereas if you tell Evie, like, hey, it's me and you to the end, who do you think, what do you think we can do to keep the tribe strong? And Evie says, you know, maybe Tiffany. You say, okay, cool, Evie, great idea.
Yeah.
And then you hope that that doesn't backfire on you. But you make sure that Evie knows that when I say keep the tribe strong, I mean, you and I keep what we think is strong all the time. You know, like, I don't mind us being weak if it's you and I. But, you know, everybody else is expendable. I don't think you can make it sound like anybody's expendable if we're not winning.
What did you think about Abraham and ultimately him going out first here?
I knew Abraham was the grenade.
How?
Sorry.
How did you know?
I said it during the draft. I said, there's a person on here with a lot of variance, and I don't want to pick that person because either they're going to go first or they're going to end up leading the tribe until a round of merge when people are going to get tired of them. But I knew it was Abraham. I was getting big Sekou Bunch vibes from him. It's just a feeling about this idea that the tribe is so small and that you are so hell-bent on keeping the tribe strong that if you lose, you're going to say that to a bunch of people who are not like going to go along with that. And that was what I envisioned was going to happen for him. I was like, I know he's going to say, like, I think we should keep the tribe strong. And then everybody was going to look at him and just, I mean, who's the guy from Brands Beauty and Blanc, from Kagayan?
Garrett
and the other guy, David Samson. Whatever his name was, Samson. Yeah, they pulled the same thing. Like, hey, we should probably just get rid of the weak people. Who was that? I don't know, one of you. Like, oh, okay, that's cool. I guess we'll just let you pick off the three women and then we'll just go down with the ship. Like, no. So I imagine that Abraham was the type of person to say it. He didn't do it as blatantly as it's been done in the past. Like, he just wasn't like, we need to keep the tribe strong, let's get rid of one of these women. But he essentially said that. He's just like, hey, I think tribe strength matters a lot. That's you putting yourself on a pedestal. That's you saying, I'm going to be immune moving forward. Now, what are y'all going to do? And I don't know if that ever works. So I had a feeling he was the grenade. He was probably the person I felt worst about, honestly, just looking at the cast.
Looking at the tribe that he was in.
Yeah, because I was just like, there's no world where this person doesn't say those words, because he's going to think. And the same thing about Danny. We didn't see it come up. And yeah. It looks like Danny's in a better spot than Abraham. But I felt the same way with him. Like, I feel like if you're in a small tribe, if you can't get other people to feel like you're valuable, then you'll say those words. You're going to say the words that everybody should already know. People should not look at you as somebody we should debate keeping if you're the strong guy. Like, it should be like a no-brainer. Like, okay, he's the strong guy. We got him for a few rounds. But for them to even be having that conversation, you don't want that to happen. You want it just to be assumed that you're that trustworthy. Maybe like Brad. Brad seems to be kind of muscular and, you know, like he's outdoorsy. And from what we can tell, he was in no danger.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have to be the one to say, let's keep the tribe strong.
That's
you know?
A really good point. That I think you could be the person who is strong in the tribe, but can't be the person who's saying, let's keep the mm-hmm. tribe strong. Because I think that the other people, if you're not, as long as you're saying like, hey, whatever, you know, everybody else wants to do, it's like, okay, well, keep him. He's good. Yeah. Although Brad did say, there are two people specifically that I want to get rid of. So he kind of did almost the same thing as Abraham. But I do think that maybe the group felt like, all right, well, Brad's not our leader.
Yeah, he's just there, and he's also good at, he is a physical specimen, and he's there.
Ultimately, he'll write down whatever name we tell him to.
Probably. I think another good example was probably like Brad Culpepper, right? Like, we have to vote out the people with the loved ones. Mm-hmm. Brad, you don't say that out loud to the people with the loved ones, mm-hmm. you know, like, because that at some point, they're going to say, well, I have a loved one. Does that mean you're going to vote me out when you get to me? Like, if we keep losing, am I on the chopping block? So I was like, time to get out Brad. So yeah, you want the other people to say that and like include you in that. You don't want to be the person, you know, beating that drum.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At least that's how I felt. And I was not wrong. I knew it was going to be a grenade. I feel so bad. Mm-hmm. I wanted to pick him so bad.
You want to talk about our draft a little bit? Okay. Because we got some questions. We got questions from the listeners about our draft. So this past Sunday night, we had mm-hmm. a podcaster draft that I was basically moderating the draft. It was Chappelle. It was Shannon Gus. It was Karen Armstrong. It was Asia Welch. It was Liana Boris. And it was Puya Zanvakili. And we had a draft to find the winner, and there was a wrinkle. If mm-hmm. you drafted the first boot on your team of three, that you were not able to win. You were disqualified. And that person was known as the grenade. And so let me bring in a question from Terry about the draft.
Terry.
Hi, my name is Terry, and I didn't have time to listen to the draft prior to the episode, and it was the best unintentional decision I've ever made. At first, I was wondering how you guys would determine who got voted off first, but then I realized it didn't matter as the person chose both of them. How hard were you guys laughing when you found out that Puya chose both? And also, who buys him the chicken nuggets? Because the way it's looking, looks like he's going to have to eat some chicken nuggets or nuggets from Wendy's.
Okay. So, yeah, Puya ended up having both Abraham and Sarah on his. People like on Twitter, Chappelle was asking, wait, what do we do? There's two tribal councils. Wait, hold on. How do we figure this out? But luckily, life found a way.
You could say that. I was in a full panic, Terry. Let me tell you something. Like I thought, I just knew, like, okay, I had the worst picks. Not like my don't get me wrong, the people I drafted, love them. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like with the first and then like 11. Yeah,
the way it worked was that we waited the draft. It was a snake draft in round one and in round two, and then we reversed the order in round three. So Chappelle, who had the number one pick, had the number 12 pick and the final pick, 18. NFL draft, like that, this would be mm-hmm. a little bit more fair because probably the number one prospect is so like head and shoulders above like two or three. Whereas this is like probably like a pretty like a close season. Like there wasn't like a huge drop off between the number one person and like the number six person.
Yeah. And so it's kind of like you see like one A and one, like, you know, one through one D or whatever go. And you're like, whoa, those were our top four choices. And I don't get to go again for a very long time still. And so it was a panic for me. So I just knew like, oh, gosh, I'm going to get grenaded out. But when Puya got both of them, oh, man, not only I was in tears laughing. Like, I really hope he's listening to this. I laughed so hard at your expense, Puya, because I just knew it was going to be me. Now, about the Nuggets, though.
Yeah.
I thought the Nugget bet was that Puya bet 200 chicken nuggets. He would eat 200 and I would eat 100 if David Voce wins the game.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't know if Puya should be preparing for that right now. I don't think David Voce had like the best night in Survivor history.
There was no McNugget bet associated with having the grenade. Puya. Rob,
McNugget is trademarked.
Yes.
Nugget
bet associated with the grenade part of it. But Puya did say that if Voce wins the game, he will eat 200 nuggets in one day.
In a day.
Yes. You should get the weekend. You should get the weekend.
He's done 100 nuggets in a day. And it almost killed him. And so he has decided to risk death again because he feels so confident that David Voce will not win this season.
Yeah. I guess Terry's question is, are we paying for the Nuggets? Rob is a podcast. Well, I mean, I don't want to get Liana upset with me, but we'll pay.
We will find a sponsor. Yeah. Rob is not going
for
to Liana, please. Yeah, we will find a Nugget sponsor. Don't worry. It'll get paid for. Rob will have nothing to do with it, Liana. Please, I promise you. Mm-hmm. Or I don't promise you, but just trust me.
Okay.
I could be lying.
But we have another question that comes to us from Kendall about the draft. Okay. Here's a question from Kendall.
Hi, Rob. Hi, Chappelle. It's your good pal, Kendall. Longtime listener, first time caller. My question is regarding the draft that you guys all did with Shannon and Taryn and Puya, Asia, Liana. You guys made a rule that if you draft the grenade, you are not eligible to win the draft, even if one of your draft picks wins. But you did make an exception that if you have another draft pick that wins and another one that's in the final tribal council, you can still win if you have the grenade. Now, Puya, you hate to see it, he got double grenaded. Is there any chance he can still win? Let's say maybe a rule that if Deshaun, his last pick, makes it to the end and wins in a perfect vote, he sweeps the jury. Is that enough to let Puya win, or is he destined to be a double grenade loser? Personally, I don't think that's going to matter because David Voce is going to win, and I'm going to have a good time watching Puya trying 200 nuggets. I think it'll be a bit harder than Rob naming 608 survivors. Thanks for answering my question. Bye. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, Chappelle, that Voce, that didn't, his preseason stuff, maybe David Bloomberg aside, didn't really hit for everybody. Did Puya put over Voce to the point where now people are ironically standing him and rooting for him to win?
Oh, yeah, I'm rooting for him. Are you kidding me? Like, I didn't draft him. I understand why people did not draft him. But, oh, yeah. Throw your hands in the air because you're a true player. But listen, I'm rooting for him, okay? Because, I mean, we want the meme. We want Puya having to eat the nuggets. Now, the issue, though, is that we can only have one thing. Like, either David Voce wins and Puya eats all the chicken nuggets, or we have the spicy draft, moment where maybe Puya's, since he lost two, maybe Deshaun does win and sweep everything. And then we get to laugh in Puya's face as he does not win the draft, even though he has like a shutout victory. So I think regardless, it's a good time, but I don't think there's a world where Puya can come back from this. We're not bending the rules for him. We're not moving the goalposts.
There's no buyback for Puya. Like, how many nuggets does he have to do to get buyback in?
Ain't no edge of extinction here. You know, we're not doing that. We ain't doing that. Puya's out. Puya's out. We up. We about to see who will win the game. Okay. It's not going to be Puya.
Which would be the greater win, Voce or Deshaun at this point?
Honestly? Ooh, I'm more in the camp of like the journey to get there, right? Yeah, cue my music. I feel like I'm in the camp of like how you get there. Yeah. So like, what if the final three Or is it a final? It's a final three, right?
Yeah, I assume.
So the final three is like Voce, Deshaun, and then like a random third other person. And then it's like, oh, what if Voce is in that second spot, the Chrissy Hofstede spot, where the person who should have won, and we're all worried because it's going to happen, or he's getting like the Rick Devens edit where everybody, all signs are pointed to Voce, and Puya's at home just shaking in his McNugget boots, you know, you know, because they shape like little boots. So I kind of prefer that. I'd like to see Puya sweat all season, honestly. Yeah,
he's going to root for Deshaun in the final tribal council to beat Voce.
Yeah, and then he loses. And then, like, and then of course, Taryn wins, you know, at that point. Or, oh, even worse, Deshaun will win shutout victory against Voce. Voce would be in second. Well, I guess Voce would get, like, one vote and get in second. Taryn technically would win because he drafted Voce, and so Voce technically would have won the draft. So I think at that point, Puya does have to eat some nuggets still.
Okay.
He lost the game, but he won the draft. I think we should make an addendum at
that
point.
We're all winners at that point.
Are we? Except
Puya and probably Liana.
Liana's the losingest Lewis in all at that point.
Yeah. Not Survivor Liana.
No.
Okay.
She seems like she's going to do great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take another question, and this one has to do with one of the bigger controversial moments from the episode this week, and this is something, you know, everybody's talking about this. Let me play a question for you that is from Ryan Patterson.
Hi, all. This is Ryan Patterson from London, Ohio. My question is about viewership, actually, because you know, I don't think there's any secret that the whole come on in guys thing kind of lost a little bit of viewers with some people. Maybe honestly, some people we don't want watching Survivor anyway. But do we think that the boom from Netflix will supersede the loss of viewership from the come on in guys thing? Yeah, that's pretty much my question. Just wanted to hear what y'all had to say about that. Thanks.
So, Chappelle, that if you've been on the Survivor Twitter, especially the Survivor Facebook, there's no shortage of people claiming that they are out on Survivor, that they have rage quit Survivor over the change up to one of the top five catchphrases of the show. The reason why people tune in week after week for 21 years, they want to hear Jeff say, come on in, guys. Do you think the rate, now that Jeff said that they will, he said it for the last time, do you think the ratings for Survivor will be impacted?
If the ratings weren't impacted by Jeff's new haircut, then I think we're safe. I think we're fine. I'm sure there are some people who are unhappy, as there are with every aspect of life, but mm-hmm. I'm sure that they will be fine. I'd be interested to see how many of those people are commenting next week when they're upset about something in the show that they should have quit watching, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't think that's a big, I don't think it's a big deal at all. I don't think the Netflix bump is going to be that big of a deal either. Cause I think
it would have happened already. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you binge watch Survivor, either you're going to watch it in real time or you're going to wait and try to binge watch the next one, whenever it's on Paramount Plus or whatever. Mm-hmm. Amazon Prime, wherever you can find your Survivor. So I don't know if just because I binge watched it makes me feel like I should watch it in real time. Mm-hmm. But it could be a bingeable show for people in the future. I think we're safe here. I do want to point out, though, I understand where some of the anger does come from with like the moment happening on the show. It does come off a little performative, like, hey, you guys, I just wanted to get y'all's input because I'm the producer, but I won't make this change unless y'all say it's okay. And then you ask in front of a million people, and then people are pressured to say, sure, like, oh, no, it's fine. And then, you know, somebody like Ricard comes back and says, it's not fine. Then people feel like, oh, my God, he's making a big stink out of it. So I understand why people would be upset.
I believe that that's a different argument than, very valid. We talked about this with Karishma also in the recap, but I don't see the people that are saying that also the people that's it, I'm quitting the show.
No. What I'm saying is that, like, because of that moment, he uses Survivor as like a teachable moment, right? Mm-hmm. And if we've learned nothing else in this world, people hate education. In the last 2 years, if you are telling people science said this,
mm-hmm. like,
No, it didn't. No, we hate science. We hate school. You know, like, so if you're telling, like, Jeff is using that as a moment to say, hey, you guys, this is a thing that changed. Oops, sorry, not you guys. What do you want to, you know, do you want to change that? And they say, sure. And he says, look, we're learning. Everybody's learning. Come around the table. This is Blue's Clues. We're having teaching time with Jeff and not Tommy. And the people at home are like, you're teaching me. I don't like that. Stop teaching me stuff. I come here to watch Survivor. So that's why they throw their fit. It's not that had he just come in and not said, hey, we're going to change this phrase, nobody would have noticed. Had he said, come in, everybody, nobody would be like, oh my God, did you notice he changed the thing? He changed the word. It was just that he kind of planted his flag and made it a teachable moment. Do I agree with that? Yes. Teach people, especially if you want your audience to be a lot broader and a lot younger. Remember, I do think he's trying to make this a family show. So he goes and explains this change he's making. But, you know, am I ever going to throw a fit about something like this and say I'm not going to watch the show? It's like, if you were watching the show for Come On In, Guys, I'm sorry. Maybe this isn't the show for you. I'm sure there's other shows that are less forgiving when it comes to their catchphrases. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think this is a non-issue. If you don't want to watch anymore, I'm assuming you're not going to listen to this anyway. So have fun watching The Circle.
What's going to be annoying is that every season the premiere happens and then the ratings are, you know, slightly down after the premiere. And then there will be some folks out there who then like, oh, Survivor had 6.01 million viewers this week, but now this week it was down to 5.8 million viewers. See, this is what happened because that these are all the people who are out on Survivor now. And it's just what happens every single season.
Yeah. And Survivor's still going to come on the next season. And see, that's the issue. Like this moment that people are having, or at the beginning of every season, if the ratings do falter, this show has been on for 40 damn seasons.
Yeah.
We are blessed to have had it this long, honestly. So anything after this is also a blessing. I don't think there's any way that you can look at this and look at the numbers and be like, see, you're too woke. You're just ruining the show. Nobody's watching. Like I'm sure we will be fine. We pushed through a lot more in Survivor history. I mean, have y'all forgotten Cook Islands? How just cringy some of that was. I mean, it's
you had a great tweet on this subject.
Oh yeah, yeah. My tweet basically was just like, we've been through like people rubbing their naked genitalia on people on live television, you guys. You people, everybody, folks, whomever, you know, like we've done this. Mm-hmm. We've done worse. We've done so much worse. And we survived. We survived. This is Survivor. This is a thriver, you know, like it's thriving. It's cool. I just don't think this will be the straw that broke the camel's back. I just don't see it.
Like the Survivor fan base has been through a lot. Like if this is where you draw the line.
Like Brian Heidick, like choked the dog to death or something. Didn't
that
he?
Didn't
like,
happen on the show.
Are you sure? I remember Thailand differently. Maybe that's why I ranked it so low.
that didn't happen on the show. So, Chappelle, I was wondering that could we kick around maybe some new ideas for that? Ooh. Jeff is, you know, he's not going to read it if we tweet it to him, but like, are there any other ideas or thoughts that it could be instead of the Come On In guys?
Yeah. Like, all right, let's tally-ho the fox.
Tally-ho the fox.
Yeah, I don't know what that means, but I heard somebody say it one time, maybe on a cartoon. Tally-ho the fox. I'm sure I should look it up. It might be offensive. But yeah, let's tally-ho the facts, you guys. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. We're ready.
Is there a different word instead of guys that Jeff could be using?
Let's see. Come on in, folks. Come on in, y'all. I'm a Texan. I love y'all. Mm-hmm. Y'all, everybody's y'all. Mm-hmm. Remember y'all in Heroes versus Villains? Y'all need to try not to cuss out your tribe next time you lose a challenge. Mm-hmm. See? It's.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Come on in, tribes.
Yeah. You know, that's a choice.
Yeah. They're still named tribes. Mm-hmm. Until you take them out of their tribes, then I guess it's still valid. Come in, survivors.
Come on in, survivors.
Yeah. Come in.
Yeah.
Come, like you said, come out. Remember?
Come on out. Yeah. Yes.
They're jumping out of a bush.
Yeah.
You know, like, just call it what it is.
What do you think of, a friend of mine suggested, come on in, gang. Keep the G sound.
Like very Freddy from Scooby-Doo. Let's split up, gang.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's split up, gang.
Let's split up, gang.
So what if, concept, if they just came in and nobody said anything?
Mm-hmm.
Did I just break the show? If Jeff just appeared on the mat with them and said, okay, this challenge is blank, you know, I think the world will continue to spin. I think it will all move on. We will be able to continue the show. Nothing will happen. No one will die.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be a viable option. He could just try not saying anything.
Yeah. I mean, you could just start the scene with them already out.
I mean, literally, today's challenge, here you have XYZ.
Yeah.
You're going to drag these bags up this wall and throw them into the wall. Like,
well,
I just don't understand why the catchphrase is needed.
The whole reason why they have it is then they say, all right, take a look at the new Yace tribe. Voted out Sarah at the first. Like, oh.
You can start.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can still start it off with that moment. Like, and there we have the such and such tribe. Sarah voted out at the first tribal council. Like, come on in, guys. Isn't like, oh, the preamble to greatness. It's just a line. Yeah. It's just a scene.
What if they play into it? Like, all right, let's find out who's not here.
Right. Like, oh, yeah. Like, come on down. You're the next contestant.
That's what Steven wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying there are other ways.
Yeah. What about like come out wherever you are?
Ollie, Ollie, oxen free.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Marco, Polo. Wait, did you hear Sarah's voice? I don't think she's on the tribe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Do a roll call. Call them out one by one.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that. That's like when they come out to like for the jury.
Weighing in at such and such. Like, James Clement, still here.
Introduce them like the 90s Bulls.
Yeah, basically, or the Dream Team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The lights dim and everything. I think we could have fun with this. I don't think this is the best, you know, catchphrase of all time.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I think we'll be okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Chappelle.
Ooh, what would you rather lose? Come on in, guys. Or all the fixins? Ooh.
All the fixins isn't in every episode.
But it's more noticeable than come in, guys.
You think so? All the fixins happens twice a season. I mean, come on, guys isn't every episode.
Yeah, but when Jeff is doing the thing, Rob, he is saying, like, when he's giving the list, aren't you waiting on all the fixing? He's like, we got soft drinks, we got pizza, we've got such and such, and we've got this, and then we've got all, right, it's time to move on. You're like, wait, what happened? What do you mean?
Yeah, look, it would be a blow, okay? If they got rid of that, I'd have to consider quitting the show.
I'm just saying, we could start a conversation. A dialogue can be had. I would like to hear both sides. If it's all the fixings, I may go to Home Depot and get a tiki torch.
Okay. Who knows? So, Chappelle, to play Survivor at home? Is that what you're going to do?
Sure, that's exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
My own insurrection in my house.
Yes. So, Dalton Ross has been doing a interview with Jeff Probst this season. Of course, Dalton does a great job. So Dalton Ross asked Jeff Probst a question, and this got brought to my attention. One of our listeners, Emily, wanted to send this in. So let me go ahead and just quickly shout out Emily for sending this our way.
Emily.
So Emily says, please break down Jeff's final answer to Dalton Ross's question about come on in, guys, and determine if this is a Survivor guy, if this is an alter ego, or if this is a sarcastic answer. Okay. So, of course, you could check out Dalton Ross's interview with Jeff Probst over on EW.com. And so Dalton Ross asks a question. Finally, after discussing it with the contestants, you decided to tweak your trademark challenge intro line, eliminating the word guys. while I support the change, I'm concerned about one other aspect of the equation, which is yet to be addressed. Will you still look at your feet when you tell the players to now come on in? And I think Dalton Ross has put out like Twitter videos of this, that Jeff is always looking like straight down when he says the come on in guys.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this a thing?
Yeah, I think it's is a thing. It is a thing. If you watch the clips, Jeff is always looking down when he says, you know, and then, you know, come on in guys. Does it the same way every time.
And what was Jeff's answer?
Oh, all right. Chappelle, it's a good thing I can see you. Are you sitting down?
I am sitting down. You see me.
Yes. Okay. The listeners, they don't. It's theater of the mind for them. All right.
Yeah.
Jeff said, so glad you asked. Yes, I will continue to look at my feet. And I guess I'll finally be able to share the reason I do it. Wow. I didn't expect to be this open. I'm a bit emotional because this is pretty revealing, but here goes. That brief moment when I look down at my feet is when all the magic happens. For this is the moment I connect with my powerful alter ego and guide known only as, quote unquote, Survivor Guy. Survivor Guy first came to me years ago while we were in Marquesas Islands filming the fourth season of the show. I was sitting alone on an island enduring a tremendous rainstorm. This was something I did on a regular basis, and I've always been a method host and wanted to be able to relate to what the players were feeling.
Method host?
I remember seeing a rat scurry past, and then seemingly out of nowhere, Survivor Guy appeared right in front of me. Weirdly, he looked a lot like me, only significantly cooler. He wore animal skins, had much longer hair, a lot of odd tattoos, and a feather necklace. I'll never forget his first words to me. Jeff, I am Survivor Guy. I am your alter ego, and if you embrace what I have to offer, I can make your life on Survivor better than ever. We sat for the next 6 hours as he regaled me with tales from his life of jungle living. I'll be honest, I don't remember a lot of it because I was pretty damn cold. But it was clear he was very earnest, even though his stories seemed completely implausible. Then, as the sun began to rise, he said, I must go. I'm needed somewhere else. He started to walk away and then began a slow run and finally leapt up as though he were going to fly away, kind of like a bird. But instead, he only got about 6 inches of air, stumbled a bit, and then kept walking, finally disappearing into the jungle. To this day, Survivor Guy remains my spirit animal. Survivor Guy guides me. Survivor Guy informs me. Survivor Guy literally gives me the questions at Tribal Council. Survivor Guy also comes up with those incredibly memorable lines like, got nothing for you, and worth playing for. He even gave me a couple of new quips for this season, including, sorry for you. I'm still working on the delivery, but I'm confident it's a keeper. To this day, I don't know where he comes from or where he actually lives, but I'll tell you this. He's my superhero. I'd be lost without Survivor Guy. Chappelle, what the hell is going on?
I didn't know Botox was a hallucinogen. Like, I had no clue that could do that to you. Did he sacrifice his life for Survivor Guy? Did he like offer his life up to Survivor Guy to get Bryant Gumbel fired? Because that's racist. I just like this happened around Martin Marquesa. Like, so this is a long con. Jeff, what?
Yeah, Rosie was hosting the reunion.
Right. Like, excuse me? He's like, I can't do this. I can't take a backseat to Rosie O'Donnell and Bryant Gumbel. I gotta do something. Yeah. Like,
I mean,
thank you, Survivor Guy.
So pretty sure he's kidding around.
Are we?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
To what end? What is he going for here?
I have no clue. Whatever he's smoking.
Why did he say this? Yeah, I'll have what he's having.
I'll have two. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jeff. There is a noticeable change in the way Jeff has done the challenges. You know, in those early seasons, it's just silence. Like, people are just running around and the music is playing and Jeff's just kind of standing there. And so I guess he said, you know what? How do I make this show my own? And then he created some type of summoning circle, apparently, in the Marquesa. maybe he saw Vesepia was going to win the game and was just like, I can't keep doing this. And so he tried to figure out a way. Like,
how do I spice it up?
How do I spice this up? Because I you know, we know he loves Vesepia. You know, he loves everybody, according to his interview with Sandra that you, I mean, your interview with Sandra that you just did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe it was just Survivor wasn't going the way he wanted it to go. He wasn't getting a lot of job prospects, you know, outside. And so he thought, you know, what if I, you know, had a ritual ceremony and learned these spicy catchphrases? Is that where he got all the fixins?
I don't know. This is like a Mad Lib.
Yeah, yeah. You could just plug this like random adjectives and nouns into this and just make it mean something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Like his alter ego is Sasha Fierce, like Beyonce.
I don't even know what he's... This is such a bizarre answer to Dalton's question. I mean, that he's done this for a long time. This is not like in character that Jeff, like, Dalton asked this question and Jeff like completely goes off on like some weird tangent.
Yeah, well...
Like, I could see Phil Kogan giving an answer like this before I see Jeff.
Yeah, we like Wacky Phil. Do you think there's the Amazing Race guy too? Like Phil Kogan has summoned the Amazing Race guy.
Toughest Nails guy, yeah.
It's definitely a Toughest Nails guy. It's not an Amazing Race guy. I think Phil can just handle that on his own. Jeff doesn't win a lot of Emmys.
Yeah.
That's the sentence. I think maybe Survivor guy should just take a little back seat and let Jeff try to get him some awards in here because Survivor guy's not doing him any favors.
Mm-hmm.
This is weird. I wish Jeff had said this before you did your 40 season rewatch, because then you could go in and see the moment the transformation happens.
Right.
And you could track it.
Maybe there's like one episode of Survivor Marquesas that you see Survivor guy start to take
home. You see like the switch turn off and his hair starts glowing like Goku. Maybe Kylan is listening to this somewhere. You know, yeah, but
I mean, is Jeff taking like an improv class? I mean, he starts off and he says, you know, I'm going to open up. I'm going to share this very revealing story.
Yeah. If you mean by improv, you mean, you know, heavy drugs, then yeah, probably. I still say we might have to look at the Botox. I think it might be seeping through.
Okay.
And that's okay. And that's not to shame people, you know, who get Botox. I just think you should be aware that if you start to hallucinate, maybe you should see a doctor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know. Chappelle.
That was interesting.
Yeah, that was different. That was wild.
I feel like I just met Jeff Probst for the first time. Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, oh, this is different. It's like seeing a dog walk on its hind legs. It's like, huh. That's the thing that's happening.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Chappelle, did you play the game within the game this week?
No. What? Hey, you think I can keep up with all this other stuff and then also pay attention to random ass Rebus puzzles and Mad Libs that Jeff got going on? He's pulling out. He's popping up in the middle of damn scenes, reaching in the trees, pulling out idle clues. Jeff, how am I going to focus on the Rebus puzzle if you just breaking the fourth wall and throwing dice at us and stuff?
What is pause happening? The show.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Can I just watch the show? It's a whole lot. But he said it's for his younger viewers, and I imagine that I've aged out of that range. So the Rebus puzzles don't seem to be for me. Now, if there's a contest where you submit, you know, your answer on CBS or ParamountPlus.com or something like that, and you submit your answer, and maybe you can win something, maybe I'll start paying attention. But right now, that's just fodder, and I wish he'd stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm. What would they have to do? What kind of contest would they have to do to get you more engaged with the show?
I want tickets to the finale.
Mm.
I want to come. Like, if you get all the Rebus puzzles and the highest average time submitted, then you get two tickets to the finale. I think that would work.
What about besides the Rebus puzzle? Is there any sort of like a different thing, like spot the differences or some sort of like Sudoku?
Look, you could have paid me $2 million and I still wouldn't have got the answer to that triangle puzzle. Okay. There's just some things that I'm just never going to be good at. That triangle puzzle, the savvy puzzle, that was a trap. And so maybe something like that. Maybe if you have a challenge where there's like a couple puzzles or whatever and they skip the puzzle, if you complete the puzzle or something, you get like a prize. Remember when Jeff used to just give out buffs on Twitter?
Yeah.
He never did. He never gave me no damn buff.
Did he say he was going to?
I tried. No, but I want him to say he was going to. Like, I submitted answers, damn it. I said things. Yeah. That it didn't work. So I maybe I'm disenchanted because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do you own any Survivor Rob. Buffs?
No.
Yeah. Do you want one?
Duh.
Okay.
You gonna give me yours? The official, like from the Amazon, the one that's been through it all. Yeah, I knew it.
I don't even know where it. That is, to be honest. Yeah. That
Oh well,
you don't want to. You don't want a game worn buff.
Yes, you do. Oh, if I want a buff, I want the one you had on Amazon. Send me the 8-ball too.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I want everything that survived the fire. Yeah.
All right. We didn't talk too much about the new advantage this season, Chappelle. The shot.
Which one?
In the dark die.
Oh, hell. I thought you were talking about that steering wheel or whatever, that boat wheel or whatever.
Do you want to talk about that?
There's so many advantages. I'm sure we're going to get to all of them.
Okay.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah. All right. So let me start with the shot in the dark from Felipe.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Chappelle. It's Felipe. And I have a few quick questions about the shot in the dark. So first, does the shot in the dark extend post-merge, or is it only in these small tribes? Second, theoretically, could I, if I was playing, give my shot in the dark to Rob to build trust, and so Rob could have two shots in the dark, or is it non-transferable? Lastly, Chappelle, how would our mess queen, Devi Vishwakumar, do on Survivor? Have a lovely day. Bye.
Okay.
Hey, thank you, Felipe. Oh, wow, a question for me. That's pretty cool.
Okay. Why don't we start there and talk about Davey from Never Have I Ever.
Yes, for those not familiar, Sasha, Joseph, and I host a Never Have I Ever podcast on Silent Podcast. It's a hit show on Netflix. It's one of my favorites, and we have been covering it episodically for the last few weeks. We took a little break, but we're about to come in and knock out the end of season one and start season two very soon, so check that out if you haven't. Davey is a very confrontational person. She loves control. She is a firecracker.
Enneagram,
I don't think she would probably or a very damaged human for a number of reasons. And so she probably wouldn't do well as a Survivor, but she would be great TV. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like that question. Thank you, Felipe.
Felipe's other question is about the shot in the dark die. How long does it last for? Is it transferable? Dr. Mike also asked, question. Ooh. Can you give someone else your shot in the dark die? Can two be played together? I don't think you can give somebody else your die to play.
Oh, yeah. They're probably not going to do that. That would be... I think I'd like that a little bit more. Like, if I used mine on the first tribal council and I came to you next week like, hey, I need that die. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like when Tony was collecting the fire tokens, kind of, you know? Mm-hmm. So he goes from every person to person, extortion. Like, please let me use your die.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people are like, I already used mine, but they really didn't already use theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I think you could get a lot out of that game mechanic, I think.
So I do wonder, though, if another person can't play it, but I wonder, is there anything to sort of leverage in terms of like, hey, like, I'm not like, I trust you here. Hold my die. Like, could you... And Sarah did this in Game Changers. That's how Suri ended up having her legacy advantage, or would vote steal, which was what Suri tried to use and then she couldn't. But I think that might be an interesting play in terms of like you know, building trust with people. Of okay, you can hold my die for tonight to know that I'm being straight with you.
Yeah, that's kind of lame. Like, I feel like if that was me,
it was great.
No, I meant like, if that was the best you had to offer me, like, take my die. It's like, okay, you know, but I think it does serve a purpose. Cause if you're going to tribal council and I'm unsure about you and you say, look, trust me, if you get voted out, you have my die. Like, you're taking it with you. It's not like it's going to be back in the game for me to find like an idol.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very much one of those things like, yeah, like you could need this in the future and I have it. So you're stuck with me. I think a better, example in Game Changers is probably Brad Culpepper and Sarah exchanging like, what was it, his wedding band or something?
Here's my wedding ring.
Right, because
and she gave him like a ring
know.
That was like out of a Cracker Jack box or something.
Yeah, she's good. And he's obsessed with Monica Culpepper, which he should be. That's his wife and she's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, for me, I'm like, that's probably more apt. It's like, hey, you vote me out, you're never going to see this thing again. It's like, okay, I don't want to risk that. I do love this thing. It's very sentimental to me, so I don't want to give it up. And so with that die, it's like, I could use this later on. I really can't betray you right now. You know, I really can't go home because you would have my, like, I can't risk it. You know, if I don't vote with you and you stay, I'm never getting my die back. Like, you just throw it into the fire or something. So yeah, I think there's some merit there. It's still such a weird twist to me though, because I wonder, like, did they say you only get one die throughout the whole season, right? Yeah. So you get one die and you can keep it until, we don't know how long, right?
I don't know when you can play it until.
See, that's probably what I'm more interested in, because I know these risk of vote deals that JD and Xander benefited from got them to the final six. But if you have the die and everybody has they die at the final six or whatever, we could come up on like some shenanigans if we got a die and idol
advantage getting type thing.
Yeah, we got a die out there. We got an idol out there. We got the. I don't know. This game of Yahtzee is very confusing, but we can have a lot of stuff going on.
So also, this was something I saw. Shannon Gus was talking about this on Twitter with some people. What if multiple people are playing their shot in the dark die at the same time? Is there one thing with safety and that everybody is pulling out of the same bag where potentially... Like, if three people from one alliance end up, is there only one safe, or can multiple, is everybody picking, you know, have a 1 in 6 chance where potentially, like, could you like crap out and have two people both play it and both end up being safe?
This makes my ass itch. I don't, it's too much to think about. Cause seriously, why did you give them a die if they weren't going to roll it? It could have been a chip. You know, or something. If we were pulling stuff out of a bag, what is happening here? Is the die, like, you roll the dice and then if it lands,
you don't roll the dice. You put the dice in the, like, the top of the urn, and then pull a parchment out, and one of the parchments says safe.
It's like the die is the token, I guess.
Yeah.
But a great time to bring back the fire tokens, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Just for that.
What about it's like a quarter and it's like a gumball machine and one of the gumballs says safe?
Yeah.
Too noisy?
Yeah, but at least, probably too noisy. Like, I heard you when they're cranking that thing.
Whoa. Like,
no, it's just for other stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Or what if you had other stuff in there too? Like, you know, it's a shot in the dark die, but you could get something else, like a loser vote or, well, not a loser vote, but like a vote steal or like a bing. Idol nullifier, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Idol nullifier.
Yes, okay.
So I don't know. This is a lot. But I am wondering when it's going to happen, right? And then I am wondering as well if you can be more than one person safe. I don't think they should take that off the table, actually. Mm-hmm. Because if it is a situation, what if it's like, I know it's me and you and they're about to split the votes on us and we both come in and we use our shot in a dark die and we're safe now. I think that makes a lot more entertaining television, but it gets, I don't know, it gets to be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lot. I do like that you can try to save yourself at Tribal Council. That's fun.
Yeah.
But they didn't, of all the things that Jeff explained, this was the one he explained probably the poorest.
I wonder if each person could be safe, because I feel like, what if 7 people tried to play the shot in the dark die?
Ooh. Well, it's a chance, like, they have a chance at getting, do you think they have like 7 safeties?
Well, like, I don't know.
The parchments, it's probably just one safety in there, honestly. Maybe it's like 5.
Is there a limit to then only 6 people could use it at the same time?
Right. And then how do I know this isn't shenanigans? We don't want to put on our tinfoil hats here. We're just getting Survivor back. We're very happy to have it. But if the person who I always want is out, I finally get them dead to rights, and then they just happen to use the die and just happen to get it, I might be like, okay, was there anything in there that wasn't, like, was there any world where they were not going to get it? Does it increase their chances of not getting it if more of us play it? Kind of like the Big Brother safety suite type situations. You know, like, we don't need to win it. We just don't need you to win it. Maybe that's the thing. I don't know. I really wish they had given us more information about that. These are great questions. Again, Felipe, why would you do this to me?
Okay. All right. Let's take another question. This is about the lack of a theme this season.
Hi, Rob and Chappelle. I hope you two are having the best day. Oh. I was hoping you could chat a bit more about the lack of a theme for this season. I am happy with it so far, but I'm curious as to whether you think there are advantages to having a theme that we might not be thinking about. I heard a lot of feedback on Wednesday night that there were too many advantages and twists in the game. Would a theme have helped keep production from overdoing it? Thank you so much.
Chappelle, do you think that if there was a theme that there'd be less advantages?
Nah.
Probably be more.
I mean, have we forgotten about Island of the Idols? That theme was literally advantage. Like, this year on Survivor Advantage, Advantage Island. Ghost Island was Advantage Island.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that would help. But I do, thank you for this question. I do like this question because without a theme, people have said for years that, you know, just put them on the island, make their tribes different colors and call it a day. Like, that's it. And it does. It's very simple. It simplifies stuff a lot because we get more time to talk about the characters instead of talking about, like, as a millennial, I, you know, XYZ, or as this, I, like, everything doesn't have to be put through the lens of whatever the theme is. You can just talk about me as a person. Mm-hmm. So, JD, why do you want to play Survivor? Because I watched Survivor a long time ago and I thought that I wanted to be Woo and I wanted to be Ozzy. And so now I'm here. It didn't have to be like, so JD, as one of our younger players, do you think that, you know, a millennial like yourself would be a good Survivor? Look, as a millennial, I used to watch Survivor looking at Woo and Ozzy. Like, it doesn't change anything. We just get probably more time to focus on the actual characters. So I don't need a theme. We didn't really even get into, like, even with the tribes, they're out there dressed like Power Rangers now. Like, everybody's wearing their tribe color. So it's a lot easier. You don't have to get into, you know, like, the explaining who everybody is all the time. Like, oh, it's the person wearing the blue shirt. That's the blue tribe, you know? Yeah, normally we just have the buff.
I have a question for you about the wardrobe. Here's a question from Tara.
Hey, guys. So I noticed that Nasir is wearing a fabulous pineapple shirt while Evie is wearing an absolutely adorable lemon shirt. If you were going out on Survivor, what fruit would you wear on your shirt?
Okay. Chappelle, you have a fruity shirt idea.
I don't have any fruity shirt ideas, but we can probably come up with some. I know last week, was it last week I was on vacation? Jeez, it feels like it's been forever. I had a passion fruit mimosa for the first time. And then I had like seven more. And then I had like three more. Give me passion fruit on my shirt.
What does a passion fruit look like?
I don't know, but I want it on my shirt. Like, look, I was hallucinating like Jeff was after all those mimosas.
Like, Did you spill passion fruit on your shirt?
I don't never waste alcohol, please. But I thought I saw Survivor Guy as well. I just started randomly yelling phrases at people. Like, come on in, guys. And I'm like, guys. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, I was so drunk.
Wait, what's Survivor Guy's new saying that's coming? Sorry for you. What's up, fam?
Yeah. Sorry for you. Like, I just really wish he'd say that when he snuffed the torches.
Like, instead sorry of, like, the for you.
Yo, bad. Sucks to be you. Ha ha, bitch. Like, I just feel like there's so many things you can do in that moment. Like, if people were mad about come on in, guys, like, they'd be pissed if the tribe of spoken is gone. But I really think you could just spice that up. Mm. Like, yeah. Bye, bitch. I really like bye, bitch.
That'd be a choice. That'd be a choice.
It's gender neutral sometimes. Sometimes. You gotta watch what you say. You might get punched in the face. Yeah.
I feel like that Nasir already took the pineapple, but I mean, if pineappleboy27 at robhesswebsite.com is my email address. So I feel like that's my thing.
You think so? Rob, I think we could come up with probably a better fruit.
A better fruit?
Was the babassu a fruit?
I don't know if it's technically a fruit. I feel like it's more of a nut.
I don't know. I've never had the babassu. Maybe it's fruit-like.
Yeah.
Babassu oil is a tropical oil made from seeds from the babassu palm tree. If it's a palm tree, I feel like it has, like...
And coconut's a fruit. I think
the nut is fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the nut is fruit.
Yeah, I don't think that the babassu nut would translate too great to a shirt, though. Like, okay, is that a kiwi?
You come up with a nutty shirt, and I'll come up with a fruity shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, Chappelle, let's take a question from Ben, who has another question about the advantages on the season.
Hey, Rob, this is Ben. Just wanted to see what your thoughts were on Risk Your Vote Island and whether we would see three more castaways go there and face the same or even a different dilemma. And most importantly, whether it passes the Mike White test, meaning was it fun?
Okay. Chappelle, you and I got to talk about the great Mike White when we talked about Survivor David versus Goliath. And did you see that story that I think that after we did the podcast, this came out that they had a whole idea for season 41 that was all they were going to go all in on fire tokens, the fire token economy. You needed a fire token for your shelter. You needed a fire token to pay your rent. You needed a fire token to whatever.
Yeah.
Jeff told Mike White this idea. Mike White said, but is it fun? And Jeff said, you know what? You're right. If it's not fun, get rid of it.
Throw it out.
Throw it
Crumple
out.
Crumple it up. Survivor guy would hate start over. Survivor guy had to step in. No, I didn't know this story. Actually, that's a lie. I heard this story on the Dom and Colin podcast. And what I will say is this. I think that's the perfect question you ask Jeff if you don't want him to do something, because we know Jeff likes the default to, yeah, but did you have fun?
Yes, that's like, one of the, that you're right. That's one of the questions that like back row jury tends to get.
Yeah.
All right, real quick. We're running out of time. All right. Michelle, did you have fun?
Yeah. It's more like, hey, how was your Survivor experience? And they're like, yeah, I had a really hard time. And I, you know, I'm all in the tabloids and people are saying horrible things about me. And this really ruined my life. And it's like, yeah, but did you have fun? Did you enjoy yourself? Did you have a good time? Would you do it again?
Yeah.
You know, like that's kind of where he uses that. Ovsinisky also asked a question very similar to this.
Yes.
He asked, why the hell did they have to climb the mountain?
I think he said, did they make them go up the mountain for no reason?
That's the question. Why the hell did they do this? I do not know the point. And you know, it's kind of like the monster is going to get you. Yeah, if you make me exert all my energy on a damn mountain,
yeah.
We're not getting much food as it is. We just swam in the ocean after jumping off a damn boat. We've been building shelter. We've been sleeping on the ground. And now you're like, we also just transferred water from buckets for 4 hours into another bucket.
Poor Danny.
Now go climb a mountain, Danny, and then also risk your vote. Like, what? What? Why? So, no, I do not like Risk Your Vote Island. I don't want it to come back over and over again, but I don't think it's fair if it doesn't. Like, why did this one group get to go there and nobody else does?
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if you don't get to the risk of vote if you're not willing to climb the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of what you were saying about Ethan and like, what was it? Transferring all those logs
Go up and down.
You were like, I think this is kind of what they want. I think that 4 episodes into the season, if you've been starving and haven't had Flynn and have been sleeping on the ground and been losing challenges and stuff like that, this walk up this mountain becomes way harder and it becomes more of a part of the story where like you're coming back falling out like Coach did from his monastic approach, you know, to like get to a challenge, just falling on the ground like, oh, I'm so weak now, you know.
So,
and that might play into the game a little bit.
Do you think this is part of the season where every week we're going to see people from one person from each tribe goes to this island and they have to walk up the hill together?
They could just say that they do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, and on their way back down the hill, like, I don't want to sit through that again. Cause all they, unless they're going to be some real strategizing, we like that. But
like
on an episode like this one, there was no strategizing. It was like, so how are you?
What's your name? Where are you from?
Yeah, what's your name? Are you an athlete? I'm going to lie. Oh, okay, cool. Are you an athlete? I too am lying. Xander, he would never lie. And then like get to the top. And then they're like, oh, we made it.
Yeah.
Now let's go on down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it didn't do anything this episode, but maybe in the future, it'll be like a new cool, fancy thing.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think it's fun? No. I don't think this is fun at all. This looks miserable. Like, why would you do this? Like, this is when Keith Nail says Survivor isn't fun. Yeah, because you just make people walk up a random ass mountain for no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would be dreading going here. You know when a boat pulls up and they're like, all right, we need one volunteer. Hell no. Well, I'm not going to climb that damn mountain. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
They're not doing it.
Yeah.
Rob, is this the mountain that Sandra said that her and Boston Rob climbed up on Island of the Idols?
Yes, yes, it might be. I don't know if this is Island of the Idols. I mean, what happened to Robin Sandra's head?
Yeah, well, you would hope that there's a monument somewhere for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember her telling that story to you and saying that they climbed a mountain and then boom, a week later, this episode happens and people are climbing mountains randomly. Like, is this the Boston Rob effect? Did he manifest this into the show?
Mm-hmm.
He willed this into existence just for making Sandra climb a mountain? It's wild.
All right. Let me give you another question. This one comes to us on our voicemail feedback number. Here we go. Here's Victoria from Baltimore has a question. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, it's Victoria from Baltimore, Maryland. Well, now living closer to DC. Anyway, super happy that Survivor's back. I have just a quick kind of random question. Do you by any chance know how they established who was going to tribal first? Was Abraham the first boot, or what was that? I'm unsure. Anyway, let me know. Thanks so much for a great podcast.
Could they have given you the most interesting tribal council second?
Yeah. I mean,
do you think there's a chance Sarah was the first person voted out and Abraham really got hosed?
It's a possibility, which does suck because you do have that like first boot stench, mm-hmm. You know, not to say that you smell, but you know, like it's always going to be on you. Like you're the guy who got voted out first. And so, I think that does suck. But if your tribal council is entertaining, then they're going to do what they got to do. We've sat through tribal councils where the first one is electric and then the second one, we're just like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do prefer the more exciting one to be second, but yeah, we have no indication of which one was actually first. They show us the voting confessionals for Sarah's though, her elimination, because at the end of the episode, they go straight into that, but we don't even get to see those from Abraham, do we?
Did we see his vote? I mean, it was unanimous. So I don't think they bothered.
Yeah, they didn't show it. They were like, screw it. So I'd probably wager that even if he wasn't the first boot, they would have made him look like he was because mm-hmm. it was so straightforward.
Let me give you one more question. I went into the voicemail inbox and, you know, it's been a minute, Chappelle, that we didn't do a lot of voicemails over the long Survivor vacation. But mm-hmm. I came across another question for you, from Michael from Northern California.
Noco.
This is Michael from Northern California calling about RNAP. Just listened to 3 hours of your bracket tournament. Very disappointed. Chappelle had it right. It should have been SpongeBob SquarePants all the way since Star Trek wasn't in the running.
So, Star Trek?
That's it. Bye-bye.
Michael... have you been having Botox, Michael?
So this was from March 24th. We got this voicemail, but
David, that was mid-panty. That was right in the middle of the pandemic, baby. March I don't 24th. Know what happened on that podcast. You asking me about something I did in a past life?
Yeah.
I just don't think that SpongeBob was my ultimate pick for number one. I think, honestly, I pissed off the world when I just abstained from voting in the last round.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make it spicy.
Yeah.
But no, I think since Star Trek wasn't there, you know, the obvious choice was SpongeBob. Michael, I love you. Who are you? This person is awesome.
Yeah. You know,
that's awesome.
But this ties in back nicely to this week in Survivor because you're not a Star Trek guy.
No, yeah. I have been told I look like Tuvok. I don't know what that means, but I've heard those words before.
Okay, as long as it's not Tuvix. Yeah.
I heard that's like a mix of Tuvok and somebody else. Neelix, right?
Yeah. They got blended together. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Star Trek, the show... they had a spaceship. 1960s.
Where are you going with this, Jeff?
Follow me. Follow me. Okay,
Survivor,
it's worth
Survivor
it.
Guy, please.
Okay, follow me
down.
Up the hill. Follow me up the hill for this. Okay. So, and William Shatner gave the opening of the original Star Trek. Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. It's mm-hmm. 5-year mission. Explore strange new worlds to seek out new life, a new civilization, to boldly go where no man has gone before. So that was the opening for Star Trek in the 60s. In the 80s, Star Trek, The Next Generation comes along and they have the same opening words, but they make one small change, Chappelle. They changed it to boldly go where no one has gone before. And you know what? Everybody was fine and nobody had to stop watching Star Trek. This was 1986. It was fine.
Do you know that nobody stopped watching Star Trek, though? Like,
if they did, we didn't know about it because there was no Twitter.
No Facebook page. Star Trek Facebook page was booming.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know how people got their news out back then, the newspaper. Maybe there was some periodicals or something.
It was fine.
Are you sure?
I think it was.
Hey, it might have been.
I don't remember it being a whole thing.
I mean, what are Star Trek's ratings like now?
It's on the same place where you watch Survivor, Paramount Plus.
Yeah, but what are the ratings like? What's the views getting? What are we getting? What kind of clicks are we getting on Star Trek now? Huh? Smarty pants? Did you know every damn thing? Mm-hmm. Maybe the Star Trek people, the purist from the William Shatner original intro, maybe they're onto something. Mm-hmm. Maybe we shouldn't have changed it, you know? Mm-hmm. Have you thought about that?
I guess not.
How obscure Star Trek is now. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows what it is because of these people and their complaints.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a phrase that changed the world, Rob. I don't know. I think we should hear both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Good people on both sides.
All right. Chappelle, anything else to talk about the premiere of Survivor 41?
No, I mean, we covered a lot of it. I'm very excited about this cast. I mean, I really want them to start burying some people with the edit so I can know who I'm rooting against right now, because I don't want to see anybody go. Of course, I was very happy to see Puya lose, but I wasn't necessarily happy to see the people that he picked go home either. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good season. I think it is a sign of things to come, and I think they're going to throw a lot at us to see what works. And then for Survivor 42, drop the 4, they're going to, you know, use that and determine, okay, well, we've gotten some feedback and now we're going to use, you know, that to make better changes. I feel like this show is in an improvement phase, whereas in the past, it's always been experimental.
Okay. Chappelle, they're not going to have to explain the whole come on in guys this thing again in Survivor 42, right?
What if they say it every episode? Now that would be hilarious.
They bring it back.
What if Jeff?
Yeah.
What if Jeff like really leans into it? Like when they're, all right, come in, folks. Yeah. Everybody come in, folks.
Yeah.
And everyone like, they clap. Like,
they're not going to, the people on Survivor 42 won't have seen Survivor 41.
Right. So they need to have the same conversation. Survivor 42 if Jeff doesn't say it?
Yeah.
And somebody raises their hand like Shireen.
Like, say the thing.
Wait. We're
not doing that.
We don't do that. Excuse me?
Yeah.
This isn't the show I signed up. What is this? I only came out here.
That's my favorite thing. It's the only reason why I want to be on the show.
And Jeff is like, bye, bitch. I'm sorry.
See that? Sorry for you.
Fire for you. You get nothing. Good day, sir. You stole fizzy lifting drink.
There it is.
We got a lot. We can go with this. I would like that even more. If next season somebody's like, you know, Jeff, Tribal Council is like, well, I can't say what it's like anymore because this is too PC for me. I'm out of here. Like,
that's ideal. If somebody just rage quits the show on the show.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you remember that time Survivor Shannon was like, like being super racist at Tribal Council?
I think he was being super homophobic.
Oh, yeah. No, that was a different Survivor who was being super racist at Tribal Council. I think that was Ben Browning.
Ben, yeah.
You know, things that didn't cause the ratings to plummet. You know, just to make a list of those things.
Mm-hmm.
When that man at that reunion show just randomly burst out, but ain't you gay, Sash? Like, the Facebook page, silent. Crickets. What's the problem? I don't see any problem. Did he answer the question? Is he gay or not? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, but this is the thing.
Yeah.
More power to y'all. Chappelle. Go, girl. And guys.
Such a great, y'all. A great opening to the Survivor Feedback show. You and I have a lot coming up. We're going to kick off a brand new podcast, Nothing But Netflix, coming up next week. Very excited for that. You have so much coming up yourself. Where can people hear more of you?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, on Silent Podcast with Sasha Joseph talking about Never Have I Ever, the hit Netflix show that I love so much. We're finishing up season one. Also, I guessed it on 90 Day Fiance with Puya, 90 Day the Other Way this week, Rob, and I see it. I get what you're talking about. I know why you go back to that show so much.
Yes.
Because that is madness, okay? Insanity, you know.
Yes.
Insanity. Yes. A lot of that. And so I got to guess with Puyo on that. I'm praying he calls me back because I am fully invested in 90 Day Fiancé. So if you have not watched that show, this is the Chappelle endorsement. Please give it a shot because it was wild. Also, you and I will be covering, we'll have covered by the time this comes out, right? The recap of the recap episode of Big Brother
23. A favorite of everybody when they have like the sloppiest night of Big Brother of the year. That should be a lot of fun. I missed it last year. I was coming back from my brother's wedding and I listened to you and Liana and Taryn, and that was a very funny podcast.
Yes, and when it gets sloppy, you call Chappelle. I'm the perfect person. I love sloppy, so I'm here for that. And so I'm happy to have you there with us this time. This will be fun. And then in the near future, Nothing But Netflix is a thing. It's happening. It's coming. I swear it's coming. We'll figure it out, but we're going to get that out to you guys shortly. And of course, on post-show recaps every week, talking about The Walking Dead with Jessica Lise, Josh Wiggler and AJ Mass, except last week it was just me and AJ Mass, so I got the host, and that was a fun time too. So if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, come check that out. If you're not a fan of The Walking Dead, you're just a fan of me, come listen to that too, because I'm there most of the time. So check it out. I think that's everything. People can follow me on Instagram at Chappelle TNT, because I'm trying to, I think I'm going to make my Instagram name my Twitter name. I'm thinking that's what I'm going to do.
Like I'm making the full shift. My Instagram name, so you're going to go full shift to
Chappelle TNT.
Okay, so you make your Twitter name your Instagram name.
I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to see what's happening. We're working that out. But we put a pin in that. It's a bomb! Chappelle bomb.
Or are you only podcast shows that are on TNT?
Ooh.
Hi, I'm like Chappelle. I know drama. And
this is the closer with Kira Shedwick or whatever.
Maybe you talk basketball.
I can talk basketball. Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. Oh, I think we're on to something. Nothing But TNT. It's our next venture. When we run out of Netflix shows, we're going to go talk about, I don't know what comes on TNT. The Good Wife? I don't know what comes on TNT.
I think it's on Paramount Plus.
I don't know either. Is TNT a partner with Paramount
Plus? No, not at all. Questions. I don't think so. Okay. Let's see.
Is character actress Margot Martindale in the
show? They have some wrestling.
I like wrestling. Matt and Mario can get involved on the Wrestling Rehab Up, where they talk about the WWE and the AEW.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's the only thing on TNT. I think it's just wrestling at this point.
Yeah. There's like there's a scripted show about wrestling or something.
TNT, we know wrestling.
Yeah. I think Titans, is that a thing?
Not about wrestling, Titans. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's about wrestling titles. Yeah.
All right. So that's follow Chappelle TNT for all of that. Of course, we're going to have our big weekend still to come here on the podcast that Taryn Armstrong is going to be bringing you a Circle roundtable for week 3 of Netflix's The Circle. We've got Robin Akiva Need a Podcast that Jenny Autumn is going to join us for that one as we break down the week in soap operas. We're going to binge a week of The Young and the Restless, I believe. And so we're going to talk about that on this week's Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. What, you don't like that show?
I thought Libra season one.
I know. There was a whole thing. There was a whole thing.
Some shenanigans.
There was a whole thing.
Stop the steal, damn it.
Yeah, it was a whole thing. We'll get into it. And then, of course, Monday night, we will have Amon Adwin with us on the Survivor Patron Q&A. Looking forward to talking with the patrons and getting to see all their wonderful faces as we are going to do a live stream. We'll send out the link to the patrons to join that call. I think we're going to drop that one in the main feed also, just so people can get a little bit of a preview of what we're going to be doing every week on the Survivor Q&A. But make sure you're subscribed. Go to robinswebsite.com/subscribe to get the link to subscribe to our Survivor podcast feed, the wrap ups, Robin's podcast main feed, however you want to subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, it's all there at robhasawebsite.com/subscribe. We'll also be having a new patron orientation over the weekend as well. That's the monthly call. Chappelle has joined me in the past. We did to talk to all of the new patrons and tell you how to get and access all of your patron benefits. So at robhasawebsite.com/patron. Chappelle, anything else today?
No, I think that's it. I think we covered everything. I'm looking forward to the Survivor season. I'm looking forward to see what you have in store for us, the Q&As. Amon is an icon in and of itself, so that's going to be fun. I'm here. We're along for the ride. It's happy to, you know, we're happy to be back in the swing of things. It's good. It feels normal. A little normal.
Yeah.
Normalish.
So, so nice to be back. Chappelle, thank you so much for kicking off the season on the Feedback Show. You can send in your questions every week, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or robhasawebsite.com/survivor questions. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.